WKRP Live with Cedric Miller has a desire to transport their listeners to a world of thought upon issues like Christian values, the appeal of Christianity, contracts with God, tenement stories, and so much more. Cedric Miller will be interviewing up-and-coming gospel artists, pastors and community leaders, and people just like you. We're going to figure out together what the heck is really going on in society today. It's an open forum, and call-ins are encouraged, so tune in and become a part of the discussion at the global table, where all points of view are considered.
WKRP Live, and I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Man, we have just a great show for you all today, featuring Mr. Justin Shaw Sr., man, an anointed Christian gospel artist, man. I mean, he is just, I would say, Christian hip-hop artist, because he's just anointed in his ministry, and also his ministry is truly, truly, man, God is really using him for such a time as this. I had listened to him a way back, and I was like, actually, I was supposed to have him on the show way before now. But, you know, I got so booked up doing this and that, but God always has a way of bringing things back around. And without further delay, I'm going to introduce you all to Mr. Justin Shaw Sr. Justin, how are you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm blessed, man. Can't complain at all. Can't complain at all, man.
Man, that is so great, man. Like, and again, thank you so much for taking out of your busy schedule to be with us on WKRP Live, man. And I'm, like I was saying, you are just awesome, man. When I listen to your music, your singers, I'm like, wow, it's anointed, and it has some flavor with it as well. You know what I'm saying? It's got flavor and it's anointed. I'm like, that is totally cool. And when I hear you ministering, I had a recent time to hear you ministering on social media and talking to people about things. I'm like, man, not only can this guy is sing as well, but also, man, he can minister to the people, not just in song, but as in preaching as a tool. So that is like God giving you double. Yeah, man. And I was surprised.
Yeah, my thing now, man, is I told my daughter this the other day, because she said, Daddy, you've been going and preaching a lot more than lately. You ain't been doing a lot of concerts lately. People been having you come preach. And I said, well, baby, I'm going to tell you something. You know, my daughter, she's 11, but I told her, I said, baby, my thinking is only the platform that God uses for me to fulfill the purpose that he has for me. And so I tell people now, I think about preaching and teaching people more than I do singing. But that's not to negate the fact that, you know, I still go and sing. I still go do concerts. You know, people still have me come out and do concerts. But when they, you know, when people invite me to do concerts and in between, you know, a lot of artists, they come and they sing songs and they have a set list and you know, they're singing. But, you know, in between these things, they might say a few things like, come on, y'all. Come on, everybody. Lift your hands. God is able to do it. And it's like, because you could tell which artists are really in the Word, and the Word is really in them, because you know how to edify people, and you know where, and God will show you where the brokenness is. God will tell you what needs to be said, and because there's so much Word in you, the Word comes out. And so in between songs, as I minister and I tell my testimony and different things like that, people engage, and it's like, it's almost really like, it's not even really just a concert, it's a big worship experience, because now it's like a big comedy show slash concert slash ministry moment, because I'm a really funny dude by character, and that's part of who I am. You know, and so I get the people engaged. Even when I preach, man, it's like I got to get the people engaged. But one thing I do is I give people I let people see the Word and hear the Word come out of it. And when people get me to come to concerts, they normally, and this was what normally happens, they normally have me to come back and preach, because it's like the Word comes out like that. And it's not to be braggadocious, but it's to brag on the God who gives me the wisdom and the knowledge that he's given me. And so I just thank God, man, for first of all, transformation. You know what I mean? And so, you know, to go from one extreme to the next, I preached Sunday, man, and I was crying like a big baby. I tried not to cry before I preached. You know, that was one thing that my grandfather used to do when I was younger. He used to cry all the time, and I used to get mad. I'm like, Grandpa, I'm just a big crybaby. Every time I get ready to preach, he cries. You know what I mean? But I found myself Sunday, this big crybaby. Now I know where that emotion comes from, to look at how God can take something dirty and messed up as I was, you know, to be this big drug dealer, to be this big whoremonger, this big person that was full of lust and, you know, that had messed up mentality. And God can take me, somebody dirty like me, man, and clean me and use me to minister to people instead of distributing people something that can, you know, be toxic to their lives or kill their lives. Now I'm distributing the word, something that can help, that can edify and reconcile their life back to a God. Wow, that's amazing to me, man.
That is true. Man, because to hear your testimony, which we'll get into a little later, man, to hear your testimony, I was truly, like, blown away. I'm like, my God, God has truly turned his life totally around, man. I go, if God can do it for one, he can do it for others as well. But you have to allow him to make that change and feel in your life, you know? And just like I said, listen to your testimony. Whew, wow. It is totally awesome. Really, totally awesome. But right now, I want to let the people, they hear you talk, but I want them to hear your music. So right now, we're going to go to let you hear something by Mr. Justin Shaw Sr. And I believe the first song we have is You Don't Know. And after that, when that song is through, we're going to come back and talk to him. The Mr. Justin Shaw Sr., I mean, awesome talent that God is using for today. We'll be right back.
Really don't matter what others say, no. I really don't care what other people do. But as for me, I'm gonna give you praises. All because I'm
all my life to you.
If I had 10,000 tongues, Lord, I just could pray to be known. Because you showered me with your goodness and your mercy. Most of all, you showered me with your love. And you don't know.
I get so caught up in my prayer.
KRP Live. That is Mr. Justin Shaw Sr. that you don't know. Now, let me tell you something, Justin. When I saw this video that you said, I'm like, man, that is tight. I'm like, you go. I said, this guy's going somewhere. I don't know about the other one, but he's going somewhere. And I do believe, you know what, that you are the next up and coming, man, because your style and your flavor, you're just real. I can tell you have that real zeal about you, man. You know? And that is such a blessing. And you were talking earlier about your testimony. I'm going to step back a little ways and I want you to tell the people that are listening about your testimony, man. When I heard it, I'm like, man, I mean, this guy, he went through a lot, man. I really think, you know how people like, we've gone through some things, but I can relate. I can relate to what you were saying. And I want the people, our listeners, to also hear this. So, Justin, I'm going to let you have had it, man. Just tell the people about your testimony that you have.
Well, man, pretty much for me, man, my life started off as, you know, and when I tell this testimony, I want people to understand, because I didn't understand all the stuff that I was going through at first until I read one scripture in the Bible that says, "For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And so this is the reason why God gave me the title to my album, and it's called Going to Get the Glory, is because God assured me that everything that I had gone through, he was going to get glory out of it. He said, "You might not understand it right now, but I'm going to get the glory out of it." And so, you know, when I look back over my life and how, you know, my mother, she got pregnant with me, my father, she was 2 weeks pregnant with me when my father went to the penitentiary. My father went to the penitentiary for 21 years. You know, as I got older, you know, 5 years old, I was molested by my female babysitter. You know, my mother was on crack cocaine for 17 years. Mm. So, you know, I didn't get a chance to stay with my mother. I had to go and live with the priest, and I didn't even realize that it was a setup. You know what I mean? I had to go and live with my grandfather, who was an apostle, who started 14 churches all over the country. So I had to go live with the apostle while my mother was struggling with crack cocaine. And so oftentimes when I'm reading the Bible and I read about Samuel and Eli, it makes me really like, it's an emotional story to me, because it makes me feel like I had to live that story. I was that the young man who had to go and live with the priest, and the priest was teaching him how, you know, to serve God, but also teaching him the voice of God, how to hear the voice of God. And so as I look back and I say, okay, well, you know, even at a young age, even though I was raised in the house with the priest, just like a lot of kids who, you know, they stray off, because I didn't want to be known as the preacher's kid. I didn't want everybody to be saying, oh, there go the pastor's grandson right there. So I tried to do everything to sabotage what I knew I was supposed to be doing. Man, I knew since I was 5 years old that I was supposed to preach, because when a lot of kids is outside playing with the Kung Fu Joe and the Kung Fu Grimps and riding bicycles and jumping off trees and swinging, saying, "I am He-Man," and all that stuff, I was in the house at 5 years old reading the Bible, recording myself preaching on a tape. You know, back then when you had a tape recorder. So I'm recording myself at 5 years old preaching it. So I knew at a young age that I was supposed to preach, but I tried to do everything to sabotage it. Just like a lot of people who have a calling on their life, what they try to do is they try to run from that calling because they want to try to be this other person that they've created and not the person that God created them to be. So, you know, as I got older, I began to venture off into selling drugs, and I got so good at selling drugs, and it grew on me to, you know, to be this hustler, to be this person who raked in large amounts of money that, you know, 5 years back, man, I was a big kingpin in my area, man. I ain't talking about the person that, you know, had the little bitty drugs. I'm talking about the one who supplied the suppliers with the drugs that they distributed to all of the users and the lower level people. I supplied the suppliers. And on Sunday morning, you would find faithfully in the church service on the keyboard, because I was the minister of music at the church. So all throughout the week, and even on Sunday, show window where every Sunday morning you would find me there on the keyboard at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church in Baltimore. Every Sunday.
Oh, my
Sunday,
Lord.
My phone would be blowing up. I got 10,000 for you. Man, what time, how long are you going to be in church today, man? Well, he's me soon as you get out of church. And look, it's so crazy that the people in the streets would respect enough to know, or they would respect me enough to know that on Sundays he at church. So you either going to have to go to one of his trap houses to deal with what we call the do boys, deal with one of the do boys, or you're going to have to wait till he get out of church if you're going to deal with him hands up.
Yeah.
So I would get disrespected. They would text my phone, man, when you get out, man, I don't want to deal with so-and-so, bro. So when you get out, man, can you holler at me when you get out? Okay, man, I got $10,000, I got $20,000, I got $50,000 waiting on you, man. Just get me when you get out of church. It got so bad, man, that it got to the point to where I didn't want, you know, it's like you're sitting in church and you're irritated because the pastor preaching and he wanted, you know how Baptist preachers, they want to close, they want to, and the Lord is like, man, come on, man. Like, bro, stop, bro. Like, I'm trying to get this money. I need to go get this bread. Like, I don't want the choir to sing another song. We can skip off. We can skip all this stuff. Really, I'm really ready to go. You know what I mean? And so,
we're just ready to get out there and spin.
And, yeah, I'm ready to get out the streets. And so, it got to the point where I'm like, you know what? It got bad. I remember one day, man, sitting at this restaurant with my wife and kids, man, and it was so bad that I broke down and cried because I'm sitting there watching my kids and my wife eating. I'm feeling my phone blowing up in my pocket. This is after church. You know, my wife want to go eat. The kids, they hungry, so I go feed everybody. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, hurry up and eat. Hurry up and eat. Money was calling me so much, or I was so addicted to money that I was losing or willing or sacrificing everything else that was really important in my life. And so while I'm sitting there with my family thinking, hurry up and eat, tears just came down my eyes because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, dude, this is sad that I'm really ready to throw away the time that I'm spending with my family just to go get money. And I start crying. And I never forget, you can ask my wife this. You can interview her yourself without me, and she'll tell you the same story. I start crying. And I said, baby, you're going to have to pray for me because I'm addicted to money. You know, all them times you're thinking when I answer my telephone and I'm running outside and you're thinking it's another woman calling me on the phone, it's not another woman. It's people calling me about money. I've been selling drugs and, you know, I'm addicted to it. Man, people ask me, how did you hide selling drugs from your wife for years? Dude, I kept my wife out of the loop. I purposely didn't want my wife to know. If anything would have happened, I wanted her to be just as surprised as everybody else. But this particular day, I told my wife, I said, baby, I've been selling drugs. I'm addicted to money. And you think I'm running outside? Because, you know, when you're married to a black woman, she think when you answer your phone and you leave the room, what she think? Who you on the phone with? And why you got to leave the room?
A female got to be a female.
So why you got to leave the room every time your phone call? But it wasn't this. It was that people telling me, man, hey, listen, bro, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. And I'm saying, all right, well, go holler at so-and-so. I'm going to go holler at so-and-so. You know, I'm shut down, and I'm going to go holler at so-and-so. They're going to take care of you. You know, because I had 10 trap houses all over the city, so I could send you wherever I needed you to go. And then it got to the point to where I called myself trying to get a little slicker because my wife started getting a little smarter. She started noticing stuff. So I stopped doing the phone calls as much. I start telling the people at the trap houses, well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to come collect bread. Y'all do this, y'all do all of the footwork, and I'm just going to come collect bread. I trust you enough to do this, then the third. But I had 10 solid people that I trusted, and I dropped this off when they came in, dropped everything off to where it needed to go, and then I go collect money. But it got so bad, man. It's like that's all I thought about. I was consumed with money. Well, what happened was a lot of people asked me, they said, what made you change? Like, did you get busted? No. No, sir. Never got busted. Never got busted for drugs. That which was the crazy. I never got busted for drugs. I told my wife this. I said, I think because I tried to hide selling drugs from you so long, and I tried to be creative and hide it from you, I probably was being a little more creative and hiding from the FBI and all the other people because I tried so hard to hide it from you. But then in reality, it really wasn't nothing that I did. It was God keeping me even in my foolish state, even in where I was. God was still watching over me and protecting me because, you know, oftentimes we think it's something that we do on our creativity, our smarts, or our reputation. But it was really none of those above. It was that God was keeping me and he was preparing me for such a time as this because he knows that there are a lot of people out here right now that need to hear this, that need to know that somebody can relate to where I am or where I was, and somebody that's real enough to take the mask off, because church people got a problem with exposing themselves because they think they want to keep their past hidden. But in all reality, it's that testimony that gets other people and shows other people that I don't think I'm above you. I used to be you. I was there, but God took somebody like me and cleaned me up, so I know what he can do for you. And then this allows you as a Christian or believer to wrap your arm around this other person instead of walking in self-righteousness. What you do now is wrap your arm around that person that smell like weed and alcohol, or you know that they got all the fancy jewelry on because you know they hustling. You wrap your arms around it and say, man, there's nothing that you're doing or nothing that you've done that God still can't use you. God still loves you and he wants you. And how do I know? Because I was that person. Now it eliminates in that person's mind that you think you're better than them. It lets them know that I was equal to you. But now, only thing that separates me and you is that I've accepted what God has for me. I've asked God for forgiveness and I've entered into the fold of God. And that's why I'm trying to get you to go. Well, what happened was, it wasn't me getting busted. It wasn't me getting busted by the police. What happened was my grandfather, man, got stricken with cancer. Man, I told you my grandfather had, you know, my grandfather was an apostle, man, but he had the gift of healing. He would go all around the country. People would have my grandfather to come to lay hands on the sick, lay hands on blinded eyes. Blind eyes would come open. People would get up out of wheelchairs. He would lay hands on people with cancer. Cancer would dry up. And it wasn't him, but it was the God through him that was using him that was healing these people. And so I got mad at God. I'm like, how in the world, God, can you stricken my grandfather's body with cancer when you done used this man to go all over the country, lay his hands on the sick? But not only did he stricken his body with cancer, a couple months later, well, I say about a year later, my grandfather died with cancer. So I'm in my recording studio, man. I was so mad at God. I was sitting there and I was smoking blunts. I'm smoking blunts back to back. See, a lot of people won't tell you this stuff in their testimony. They'll just say, and I did some things. No, I'm going to tell you what I did. So if you're sitting here and you're listening, you can relate to this. You can be like, you know what?
Come on, man, I've been there. Somebody needs you. That's right.
Yeah, so what I done was I'm sitting there and I'm smoking blunts and I'm having this argument with God. I'm mad. I'm talking stupid to God. I know there's some other people out there that's listening to this. I'm not the only one that you've ever said talk stupid to God before. And when I say talk stupid to God, you say stupid. Like, I don't know why you took my granddaddy. I know about four or five people that you could have took. You didn't have to take him, God. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have to take him. You could have just sold him. They ain't living right, and they ain't doing this. And you could have took this, but you're going to take him. I'm sitting there, and I was so mad, dude. I'm smoking blunt back to back. Not even understanding that God had showed me a dream about my grandfather 6 months before he passed. In this dream, I was in the bathroom lining up my face because I'm a baller, man. I cut hair. I'm in the bathroom lining up my face, and in this dream, my grandfather walks up to the bathroom where I was lining my face, and he said, "Grandson, I need to use the restroom." So I leave out the restroom. I let my grandfather come in his restroom. I'm walking out, and I'm walking around my bed, getting ready to leave out the room. And I look out the corner of my eye, and here my grandfather was struggling to put a coat jacket on. Well, in his dream, something says, go back and check on him. So I go back, and I go check on my grandfather's bathroom. I said, "Granddad, I saw you struggling to put your suit coat jacket on. Are you all right?" He shook his head. He said, "No, grandboy, I don't feel too good." He said, "No, grandboy, I don't feel too good." And he passed out of my arms, man. He started shaking and foaming at the mouth. I'm talking about, you know how somebody like shaking like they're having a seizure and his phone coming out. So he in my arms, he's shaking, he's foaming, and I'm running, and I take off running with him, and I'm crying. I mean, have you ever cried so hard in a dream that when you wake up, you're crying for real? Like, it's real tears coming out? So this is what happened this particular day. So I take off running through the house with my grandfather. And then when I get in the kitchen, my grandmother was standing on the right-hand side, and she looking at me. She's like, "Baby, why are you crying so hard?" And in this dream, that was one of the stupidest questions that I thought she could have asked me, possibly because, you know, like, you see granddaddy right here in my arms. He's shaking. He's foaming. You see it. So why would you ask me why I'm crying? But my granddaddy looks up at her from inside of my arms, and he said, "He heard me, and I woke up. And I was crying so hard, I called my mother, and I thought this particular dream, man, if I see my granddaddy again, he gonna die." So I didn't want to see my grandfather. I'm like, no, I don't want to see him like that. Everybody was calling me, telling me how bad he had gotten and how bad his condition was. I'm like, no, I just want to remember granddaddy just how he was, because it's based on his dream. If I go see him, he gonna die. Then my mama told me, she said, "Well, if this the case, then that means you're selfish, Dan, because you don't want to keep him here all because of your selfish reasoning." Like, I mean, we went on for weeks, dude, like having a back and forth discussion about my Well, so what happened was, in this dream, after I saw this dream, now I go back to being in the studio. I'm in the studio and I'm crying. I'm talking stupid to God. I'm asking, "Why you take my grandfather? You ain't had to take him." You know, I'm talking stupid. "Oh, Lord, why? Lord, why?" And so I thought I was just so high that I heard voices, right? You remember the old church, my grandfather used to say a still audible voice spoke to me, and the Spirit of the Lord said this, and the Spirit of the Lord said that. But because I had never heard the still audible voice, I was like, Grandpa Craig, he ain't hearing no spirit talk to him. Ain't nobody saying nothing. You know what I mean? Like, even when I was a kid, see, this is why, and I ask God for this all the time. God, I want that old school anointing with a new school movement. It's because back in the day, granddaddy and them was so in tune with God, they prayed so much. I mean, I can remember the sackcloth and ashes and them being down on their knees and sackcloth and ashes. I can remember what that smell was and everything, where the churches would fast and pray all the time, and then this family would come in the church for an hour, then another family would come and release them, and then they would pray for an hour. That's back when the church had real power, when stuff was happening and you were seeing signs and wonders. And so I never, that was the whole still audible voice thing, because even when I was a kid, I would go somewhere and do something and try to hide it. Like, I would go get high with my buddies when I was in high school and come back home and try to lay down. You know how we used to do it, lay down and try to fake like you were asleep. The reason why you could explain that was before we had clear eyes back in the day. But when you try to explain why your eyes was red, he was like, oh, I was just asleep. And the guy, and he, my granddad would leave and go somewhere. He would come back in the middle of me trying to lay down and go to sleep. He was like, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord showed me you. It was over the boy's house. That's right. I said, you had the blue shirt on. And that's right. You were standing right beside him. He had a blue shirt on with white stripes on the side of it. That's right. And you passed the blood to you, and he passed the blood to him, and he passed the blood. And you had, boy. God, the Spirit of the Lord showed it to me. I was putting out the vision. I was going down the highway.
Yeah.
I'm like, ain't nobody told him nothing. Somebody done called and snitched on me. That's what I used to think. But this particular day in the studio, that same still audible voice that he used to talk about started talking to me. He go, that still audible voice say, you remember that dream I showed you 6 months ago? And look, this is the first thing I did. Cedric, I'm lying not to you. God is my witness. If I'm lying to you right now, he could take me right in the middle of me come conversing with you right now. This voice, I looked at that blunt that I was smoking.
Yeah.
And I was like, boy, this got to be some good weed, because I know I just heard somebody talking to me.
No.
Yeah. Look, listen to me. I put the blunt out. I said, that's enough of that. I don't want no more of that. If I'm hearing voices, I don't need to smoke no more of that. Listen, no, I put the blunt out. And I sat there, dude. I laid my head down on my arms. You know how, like, if you feel like you're so high that you lay your head down on your arms. I laid my arms on the desk, and I laid my head on my arms. And here go that voice again. You remember that dream I showed you 6 months ago? Now I done got still and quiet, because I'm like, I ain't smoking no more. I'm just going to listen. But I know somebody talking to me. He said, you remember that dream I showed you 6 months ago? He said, in that dream, you were in the bathroom lining up your face. He said, lining up your face signified you were in preparation. He said, I was telling you to be prepared not only for your grandfather's death, but for where I was about to take you to. He said, when your grandfather came into the restroom and you left out the restroom and you saw he was struggling to put the suit coat jacket on, and then watch this, I told you to go back and check on him. He said, when you went back to the bathroom and he passed out in your arms, watch this, Cedric, this is crazy. It got me. That's why I jumped up and started crying like a big baby. He said, that signified the transferring of the anointing from his life to yours. He said, when he passed out in your arms and you took off running through the house with him, that signified it was now time for you to carry the mantle. Man, I lost it. I lost it, dude. I started crying. I'm talking about, this squeal came up. This loud, crazy cry. Started crying like a big baby when God started interpreting this dream to me. Then watch this. That's not the craziest part. It's already 3 o'clock a.m. on Saturday morning, the Saturday of my grandfather's funeral. But at 10:30, we get to the funeral, and a man comes from all the way from Jackson, Tennessee, by the name of Nathaniel Barnes, and he preached at my grandfather's funeral. Guess what the title of the sermon was? Because the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So God had just interpreted the dream to me. Then this man comes, and he preached a sermon, and the title of the sermon is called, Who's Gonna Carry the Mantle? Dude, I got up at the funeral, and I shouted. I got it on DVD, so if you think I'm lying, I'm going to show it to you on DVD, where I shouted at my granddaddy's funeral. People thought, they're like, what is wrong with this dude? He's shouting at a funeral. What, was his grandfather abusive? What, like, was he happy he's dead or what? This dude shouted. No, it wasn't none of those things. It was the fact that God had just showed me at 3 o'clock in the morning that it was time for me to carry the mantle. Then this man comes, and the title of his sermon is called, Who's Gonna Carry the Mantle?
Now, that's confirmation.
Yeah, so I get up, I shout, oh my God, I start shouting. My pastor, matter the crazy part, my pastor of my church, you know, him and my granddaddy was cool, so he was at my grandfather's funeral. My pastor can vouch it, my mama, everybody. I got the DVD, I showed the world. Y'all can see it, that you can see this ain't made up. So that next morning, which was Sunday morning, then all Saturday night, dude, I just cried all night. I'm crying like, it was like I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't control it. My wife, she was consoling me, and I think she thought it was because of my grandfather's death, but it wasn't because of the death. It was like, oh God, I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to preach. I was cool with being behind the keyboard. You know what I mean? I was cool with being called the keyboard player or the minister of music.
Yeah.
But now you're telling me you want me to preach? Oh man, I ain't ready for that. I don't want to preach. Dude, I cry all night. And you can, hey, man, I wish my wife was here right now. She at work, man. She would tell you, dude. I'm talking about, have you ever heard when the women, when they get ready to have birth and they let out them high squeal sounds? And the pain is so bad. All night long, God is my honor to God witness, dude. I was crying with a loud squeal. Like this, no lie, crying loud. Like I was giving birth to this new season, to this new person, to this person that God wanted me to be. I'm giving birth to this person, and I'm in labor pains all through the night. So the next morning, dude, I get up, getting ready for church, and I got this, and I never forget. I sit down on my piano, and I'm playing in the key of B. I'm sitting there in B, and I'm singing a song in B. I'm just in worship, and God said, "Today, I want you to stand up, and I want you to I want you to tell it all." I said, what?
Yeah.
I said, oh, no. My life didn't do that. You know what I mean? Son, this is what I want you to do. So in my mind, I'm like, so how you want me to do it? I start talking. It's like I was having a conversation with me. And I'm like, so how you want me to do it? Like, do you want me to sit on the keyboard and play the chords and, like, talk in the microphone and tell it? Or do you want me to get out from behind the keyboard and stand up and tell it? And what? He was like, no, I don't want you behind no keyboard. I want you. But I didn't know. What he did at that particular point was showing me, I don't want you behind the keyboard. What I got for you ain't even going to be behind the keyboard. I thought it was just him telling me, get out from it. Yeah, he was calling me out from behind the keyboard. I don't want you behind the keyboard. I want you to stand up there, and I want you to tell the people what you've done. So that Sunday, and it was so crazy because it almost, after the choir got done singing, we went to praise and worship, you know, the altar call. We've done all of these things that, you know, our service normally functioned, went through our regular regimen of the service. Well, choir singing, pastor finna get up to preach. And right before he got up to preach, I said, Pastor, I need to say something. It was so crazy. It was almost like God had talked to him in the middle of the night and told him that something was going to be said that needed to be said. Because, dude, it was crazy, dude. My pastor handed me the microphone and went and sat out.
Uh-oh, he knew. Yeah.
So, look, I walk up in the pulpit, and I said, man, y'all minister of music has been the biggest drug dealer in this area for the last 5 years. I've stagnated y'all's blessings. I said, I've contaminated the atmosphere of this church. I said, listen, because the minister of music's job is to set the atmosphere. You know, if you go through the Bible,
right,
where the priest and the musicians, they stayed in the rooms all day. They didn't work jobs. They stayed in the room. And the priest's job was to get the answers from God, and the musician's job was to get the atmosphere for the priest's answers. And so my job was to set the atmosphere. But if I wasn't setting the atmosphere, I was polluting the atmosphere, which means I was making it hard for the people to get those things that they needed from God. Right?
That's
so
right.
So I told the church, I said, man, I've contaminated the atmosphere. I've made it hard for y'all. I said, matter of fact, I want to apologize to my wife and to my family because I brought all kind of shame. I brought all kind of, you know, all kind of things against our name. Like, this man, I'm talking about, man. And then, like, you know, come on now. You know it was people in there that crossed their arms and folded their arms and looked at me like, I can't believe he done got up here and said he was a drug dealer.
Yes, Lord.
But then there was ones who got up, man. I'm talking about the majority of the church stood up and gave a standing ovation like, oh, my God, I can't believe he really said that. He said that. Like, in the church, he got up and said that. I'm talking about, dude, they gave a standing ovation, right? So it was like, man, I'm talking about, I was so free. I felt like I had just released a ton of weights off of me, man. I told him, I said, this is crazy, church. I said, because I got slabs on top of slabs on top of slabs right now in my trap house. I said, but I want to give. I said, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all of the stuff the money and stuff that I got right now. I said, I'm going to go and buy my wife the stuff that she wants for the house, and then I'm going to give the rest of the money to the church.
Jeez. I know you're like, okay.
So oftentimes, even when you're in the process of doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing, man, God will call you out in a funny way. And so the way he called me out was so unorthodox. And then watch this, man. The next Sunday, this is crazy. When the devil saw that I was coming out and I accepted what God wanted me to do, the next Sunday, my house got shut up.
Jesus.
Yeah, the next Sunday morning, it was 4 o'clock Sunday morning, my house got shot. They shot my truck up, should I say. They was mad because I wouldn't give them the plug. Kevin was calling me, asking me to give them my plug so they can keep the drugs circulating. And so in my mind, I'm like, if I wanted to keep the drugs circulating, I'd just stay selling the dope.
Okay. You know what? Stay right there. I want you to keep us in suspense right there. Right now, we're going to go to a commercial break, and also we're going to let you hear, I want you to introduce this song, because this is one of your songs that's coming up yet. Yet Will I, you know the name of it. I just started it off,
Well, man, Yet Will I Trust You, man, is a song, man, that I wrote, man, and it was me going through some things, and I looked at a Job-type experience, and God told me, I told God, Yet Will I Trust You, regardless of what's going on. I told him, the devil's been working overtime in my home, but I'm going to trust you. And, you know, so this song is really written based off the word of God, because that's how I write all of my songs, really based off the word of God, not just good melodies and good words. But, you know, the Bible says, what's the scripture? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he not said it, shall he not do it? Have he not spoken it, shall he not make it? So regardless of what you're going through, God's word is God's word. All you got to do is stand on the word and trust God and know that it's going to work out.
All right. We'll be right back with WKRP Live with Mr. Justin Shaw Sr.
Jesus came to destroy all the works of the enemy. He forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Southview Worship Center, 141 Hainesville Plaza, Hainesville, Alabama, where miracles are taking place.
Hayden's Towing and Repair. You call, he will haul. It's a 24/7 service. Hayden is his name, and he is the owner. Office number is 334-727-1215, and his cell number is 334-224-4900. Again, it's 24/7 service, and he is located in Shorter, Alabama.
Neither the son of man that
he should repent.
Have he not said it, shall he not do it for you?
If he said it, then
that's what he did.
So I take him at his word, cause I know.
I know it's all working out for me.
I believe.
for my health and my strength. Ooh,
yes,
oh, yeah,
Lord,
I trust you. Even when it seems impossible, when it seems like there's no way.
All right, we're back with WKRP Live. Man, we are having an awesome interview on today's show with Mr. Christian gospel singer, Justin Shaw, Sr. And let me tell you something. I've had many guests on my show, and I'm thankful of that. But I thank God that to have Justin on the show, man, he's just laying it all out on the line, talking about his testimony. You know, most people, like he said, you know, they'll try to, pretty it up, but he's just letting you know, hey, I've been through something, I've been in some things, but I'm here to tell you that you can too still be delivered from those things, you know. And I thank him so much for his testimony that he's given us today, you know, and I'm thanking him for being real. So that lets you know that, hey, he's real about what he feels, the zeal that he has for his mission, his purpose, and how God pulls him out of certain things, and let him know that he wanted to play the keys, but God said, now I'm calling you to do another thing, ministry. Preach as well. Yeah, man, that is totally awesome. But I'm going to let you finish up. I believe you left off about when you were saying someone shot up your house because you had stopped and they wanted more. Well, go ahead. I'm going to let you finish telling that story.
Man, that the next Sunday after I got up in front of the church, man, and told the church, you know, yeah, I minister music. We've been the biggest drug dealer in the area. I told them I had drugs in my trap house and different things like that. Of course, you know, my pastor called me when service was over. He's like, man, you need to get all them drugs and stuff away from you. And I did that. I didn't know how the plug was going to take it, you know what I mean? Because I had a plug, man, that was from California, man, and he had a spot in Las Vegas, St. Louis. But, you know, I didn't know how he was going to take it, man, because we made so much money together, and I'm thinking he's going to be weird because I knew all his information. And most times when somebody just stop, you know, in the back of their mind, even when it's not the truth, they thinking, what happened? Something happened. Did he snitch? Whatever. But yeah. I'm thinking, I'm like, man, well, listen, I don't God, I need you to, you know, to help me get out of this situation with it being, you know, without it being something just, you know, negative.
Yeah.
And so I was in the shower one day. You know, I'm selling this part before I tell about the next weekend where the house got shut up. But I jump in the shower, man, and I set my phone there, and I'm praying the whole time I'm in the shower. I'm like, well, God, you called me out of the life. So God, since you called me out of the life, God, you're going to have to prepare, you know, prepare my way, God, and show me how or what I need to say to him, God, or whatever. So I get out the shower, and I had a missed phone call from the club. And I'm like, oh, man, here you go calling, man. You know, because, you know, around the same time every week on Monday morning, you know, I'm going to get situated. But what I did was I called him back, man. And I'm walking through the house. I called him. He picked up the phone. He's like, what's up, bro? I was like, man, not too much. He was like, you ready? You know what I mean? You want to do what you trying to do this week? And in my mind, I'm like, Lord, I don't want to tell him. Because, you know, the flesh, really, that flesh will still fight. See, a lot of people won't be real with you. In the back of my mind, my flesh and my spirit, that's why that scripture was really, you know, that scripture really will. Talking about, you know, I got two a law that's warning my member, warning against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. So I got that law in my member that's warned, like, man, you don't want to tell the plug you don't want to do it no more, because if you might, you know, you might need them eventually later on down the line. You know what I mean? Like, and then my spirit man was like, nah, you don't need it. You just need to tell him you're done. And then the other man, like, man, then you're going to tell him you're done. Think about all this money you're going to be losing out on, man. Think about all the money you done made. So that part of me was warned at that particular time, but I let the spirit man eventually warn, and I told him, I said, man, listen, man, I got to be real with you, man. I got saved this weekend. You know, I gave my life to God, man. I'm be living for God, man. And really, you know, I ain't even going to be, you know, I ain't going to need to re-up or nothing no more, man. And this is the craziest part, man. Now, I wish I could call my pastor and let him be on the phone, because it was so crazy when I heard my plug say this that I had to click over. I said, hold on real quick, bro. I had to click over and call my pastor and say, hey, I'm on the plug, on my plug. Even though I told you I was trying to figure out a way how to get out, but I want you to hear what he's saying. But I told him, this is what he said. He said, my mother is a pastor. He said, it's crazy you said that, bro, because God been tugging on me, too.
My Lord. something.
Man, listen, I'm telling you, man, when he said that, it's like something went all over my body, almost like I know God is real, because there's no way in the world. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I know God did this, because this is one of the outcomes that you at least expect. This plug tells me that his mother is the pastor. She's the pastor of a predominant church. And he said, my mother's the pastor, dude, and I know God is real. He said, I know that it's crazy you said this. He said, because God's been tugging on me, too. And he goes on and starts telling me how, you know, certain stuff when he was a kid, he knew he had a calling on his life, and this happened and that happened. And I'm just sitting on the phone really blown away. My pastor's sitting on the phone. So when we got off the phone, you know, when my plug hung up, you know, my pastor's still on the phone. All my pastor could say was, wow.
Yeah.
All I could say was wow, because God presented the opportunity and God closed the door for me. I didn't even have to really fight to close the door. God really closed the door for me.
Won't he do it? I mean, God will do it all the time, man. I know it totally shocked you. I know it shocked you.
Yeah, it threw me for a loop. It threw me for a loop. But the shocking part was when he said, God's been tugging on me too. So that means God didn't just start tugging on me. God didn't just start working on me. He started working on the way for the door to close before I even said the door was going to close.
That's right.
He started working on the way to close the door. See, look, because oftentimes what we'll do, we'll keep our foot in the door to keep the door propped open so it don't close. You know what I mean? But God was already preparing a way to close the door before I actually accepted the call to even close it. That's what shocked me the most. But then, so the next week comes, it's about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm laying across the bed. The craziest part is, dude, I had went to the gun range the night before, and so in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm finna sell these guns. You know, I ain't selling no drugs no more, so I need all this money. So I'm finna sell all these guns. I had like 56 guns in my house, because when you're selling drugs, the task to protect the drugs is more tedious than making the money. So you, in your mind, you just be drug dealing, you selling drugs on this level. So you think, you always thinking the worst. You always got a pessimistic mindset. Well, if somebody trying to kick up in the house, you know, I got a gun right here, and I got one right there, and I got one over there, and then it's like, really, you living this fairy tale life in your head, like you living stuff you see in the movies, because you thinking, if they come over here, I'm gonna roll over here and grab this gun, I'm gonna roll on, and I'm gonna come out shoot. Man, that's the movies, bro. This real life. Like, so. A lot of times when you in that life, a lot of stuff is fairy tale to you, because if you got 10 people that run up in your house armed, you know what I mean? You may be able to kill them with this one gun, whatever, but what's the real sense of that really happening the way you visioned it in your mind?
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? But so this particular night, I'm like, I'm going to sell these guns. I'm going to sell this. I had a bulletproof vest. I had just put my bulletproof vest on. I tried it on. I'm like, man, I don't really want to get rid of my vest. I don't want to get rid of none of my guns, none of that, but I got to, because, you know, I ain't selling no drugs no more. I need all this money back. I need to put all this money up, you know, because eventually all that money, that's gonna run out. This is my reserve bread. So I need all this money right here to take care of all the immediate stuff. So I fall asleep and look across the bed with the bulletproof vest on. In my truck, I had 12 guns sitting in the seat of my truck as I went to the gun range that day. Like, I think I'm going to keep these. These are the ones I'm going to keep. So I got 12 guns on the seat. And then that night before, I had went back to one of the little dudes who was selling drugs for me. And I went to the trap house and I took a sawed-off shotgun back from him. I had a sawed-off shotgun. I said, I don't want nothing out here in these streets that could fall back on me, so let me get that sawed-off shotgun. And I had a friend that was a police officer that went to my granddaddy's church. He's a police officer. He used to detail information and stuff like that. And so, you know, I was really kind of connected in the streets. I had a police, you know, I'm on the air, so I tell, I ain't going to say no names or nothing, but I had a police officer, a friend,
no.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, had a police officer friend that, you know, I could go and, you know, and he'd be like, well, don't go over there, don't do that, don't go do that, don't go over there and do this, don't go over there and do that. So really was kind of plugged in the police force too. So I called him that night I got saved or whatever, and I told him, I said, man, I got this sawed off shotgun, I'm finna go get it back. I know they ain't legal, so I'm finna get it, and I want you to come get it. I want you to turn it in, because I don't want nothing to fall back on me. Well, this is how the devil works. Whenever you try to get right, so I fell asleep across my bed with this bulletproof vest on. I forget that the sawed-off shotgun still in the truck with all the other guns. So this particular night, they shoot my truck up. They come by the house and they shoot the truck up. Bah, 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 bah. So I'm in sleep, and my wife came and woke me up. She like, baby, I heard something sound like firecrackers outside. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? You want to go check on. So I wake up, I got the bulletproof vest on. I walk outside, I go out of my backyard because I got a recording studio in my backyard. I see the light on. I thought maybe, I'm like, well, baby, probably tripping. Yeah, it might be a transformer or something that done blew up out here. Something, a little power source done blew up. But I was like, no, it couldn't have been a power source blew up because the lights and everything are still on in the studio. So I walk around the backyard for a while, walked around, looking around. I ain't seen nothing. I ain't hear nothing. So I come back in the house. Soon as I come back in the house, man, about 5 minutes later, it's the police knocking at the door. Well, of course, you know, I got to take my bulletproof vest off because I wasn't supposed to have it because it was a police issue, bulletproof vest. Yeah. So I took the bulletproof vest off and put it down and went outside to talk to the police officer. They was like, did y'all hear anything? I said, well, man, I was asleep. My wife woke me up. She said she heard something sound like a firecracker. I just came from outside right before y'all pulled up. I didn't see anything or nothing like that. Didn't hear anything. He was like, well, you might want to come out in the front yard because your window shot out in your truck and you got bullet holes out of your truck. I'm thinking, I'm like, nah, man. Ain't nobody done came over and shot my stuff up. And then I go outside and go to the front yard, man, look at my truck. My whole right side of my truck glass out the front window out. The whole rearview mirror got 3 bullet holes in it. Going to the back, I got bullet holes that came all the way through my seats of my truck. Hit the dashboard, not the. I'm not talking, man. They shot the truck up. So,
right,
so the police seized the guns in the seat, which I had got my concealed carry. So all the other guns that was, you know, pretty much, you know, registered or whatever. But this one sawed-off shotgun in the truck. That's why I got a felony charge from. So I end up catching a felony charge. My child gets shot up. I get the felony charge because I got the sawed-off shotgun in my truck that the police officer was supposed to come get the next morning. So look at how the devil works. Whenever you start trying to live your life right for God, this is when the things start going. I never had been shot at. Never had nothing shot at. Never had nothing shot up while I was selling dope. Ain't been robbed when I was selling drugs. But as soon as I give my life to God, the next week my truck gets shot up. They come shoot the house, and then I get a felony charge. Ain't never got busted for no drugs, but here I go get a felony charge for illegal, they call it, this is the charge, the illegal use of the felony use of a legal firearm. Never used
it. Now, ain't that something? It does work that way, man. And that is something. Because when you're trying to turn your life in for good, the enemy wants you, don't want you to leave. So because he leaves, he got to throw something in the cart.
Yeah, so he giving you that last rendezvous, because that's really what I called it. His last rendezvous, trying to keep you on that side, because he understands. And it was so crazy. I was reading the book of Daniel, chapter 1, when it was talking about Daniel and all of the... you know, everybody call him Meshach, but I call him Michelle and all these people before they change their name. The enemy don't want you to, the enemy tries to change your identity. He tries to change what you eat. And so the king sent Asenath to go and get all of the royal kings, all of the ones with wisdom, all of the ones with knowledge, you know, all of the certain of the children of Israel. That means God, there's a select group within the children of God that the enemy wants to keep, because these people, and then he says, but he wants those with that are well favored, which means he wants those that got a lot of influence. They can influence people. So he didn't want me to get saved because he understood
that
the influence that I had, you know what I mean, was not only good in the streets, but the influence I had was good. That the influence that I have is also good for the kingdom of God, is even greater for the kingdom of God. And if you could take somebody with all that influence, right, that's well-favored, that's well-liked, not only by God, but that's well-favored by people in the streets, then this person got influence. So the devil wants to go get all the people with influence and keep them on his team. So when I tried to come out, or when I came out, the enemy was mad at me. And look, that's when I called. I said, like I said, house get shot up. Then I get this felony charge, the illegal use of a felony firearm. Now I got to go see this probation officer, which God let it work out for my good, because God know I had a nasty temper. I was still working on the temper. You know what I mean? Even though I got saved. See, a lot of people get saved, and they want to, you know, they want to act like this and say, I'm saved and I don't have no issue, and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, when I stopped selling drugs, this is real. I have to tell everybody, when I stopped selling drugs, because I had access to so much weed at all times, even after I stopped selling the weed, I was still addicted to smoking weed.
Hmm. Ain't that something? That is. Well, Justin, I want to, before we run out of time, because we're about to run out of time, we're about to know my engineer is like, okay. But I want you to let people know. I'm going to bring you back. I want you to come back, because this is good.
And you always have something, man, something great to say. And I love this. And I want you to come back on our show soon. I'm going to let you know because we got to finish talking about this because there are people out there that need to hear this. But I want you to let people know how can they get in touch with Justin Shaw Sr. You know, website, whatever, social media. Let the people know.
Man, you can go to any one of my websites. Man, you can go to facebook.com/Justin Shaw Sr. You can go to, you know, you can get me on Twitter at Shawboy74Sr. Man, you can hit me on my actual personal website, MeToo Music. That's metoo.music.com/Justin. You know, you can get me on there, man, or you know what I mean? Anywhere, man, you can get me either one of my sites, man. You can email me, shawboy21519@gmail.com. You can send me a direct email, man. I respond to all my direct emails, man. Give me a call. But whatever, man, just get with me, man. And I promise you, man, you'll be blessed, man, if you have me come out, whatever. You'll be blessed. Your ministry will be blessed, man, because I personally ask God to always show up in my place. So God is going to be there, man. Just get me there, man, and you'll see, man, there's going to be an experience.
Amen. I do believe that. But I want you to say this even before we go off air. Talk to somebody. If you have to pray, let somebody know that went through the same thing or probably going through the same thing. Let them know right now. We got a couple of a minute. Let them know, you know, how God, just talk to them and tell them how they can change their life around. Go ahead, Seth.
Man, it's the biggest way I always say. A lot of people quote this scripture. They quote it wrong. They say, resist the devil and you'll flee. Well, James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil and he'll flee. So whenever you submit your life to God and totally submit to God, then everything else in your life is secondary. When you develop a foundation and you build your life on the principles and the foundation of God's word, then everything in your life, man, it has to come under subjection to the Spirit of God, man. So if you're trying to change your life, the first thing you got to recognize is that you're messed up and that you're wrong. You got to admit to yourself that you're in a position where you need help. Then when you admit that you need help, you got to submit. You got to figure out who the lawgiver and the judge and authority in your life is, and that's God. And submit yourself to that authority, man. Confess, man. Don't be scared to tell God where you are. Come naked before God, because a lot of people try to go before God as if God doesn't already know where you are and how messed up you are. David said, life is like an open book. Nothing is here from you. If I climb the highest mountain, you're there. So come before God naked and not ashamed, knowing that God already knows. Just start telling on yourself, because what happens is when you tell on yourself, the enemy can't use your past to blackmail you, man. I love y'all, man. That's what I got to say.
Amen. Man, I thank you so much. And for all my listeners, hey, I thank you all for tuning in. Ms. Ann Nesby, hey, was scheduled to be here, but she had some other engagement when she called me last night. And I thank you so much, Ann. But she will be here in another week. So I thank God for the man of God, just Mr. Justin Shaw, man, for coming on the show and giving me and sharing his life experience and letting me know that, hey, we've all gone through some stuff and some of us still going through, but we can make it if we trust and believe in God and also believe in yourself. I thank you all for tuning in. This is C. Mill with WKRP Live saying, may God bless you and keep you no matter what you're going through. Trust in the Lord. He is able to deliver you from all trouble. We're out.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, brother, I appreciate you, man, for having me, man.
Most definitely, man. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And also, man, like I said, I'm going to bring you back, man, because you have an awesome testimony. Sorry we ran out of time, but, hey, you're going to come back on the show, man.
Whenever you want me to come back, man, just call me. Just know, man, we can set it up, bro. Whenever you want me to do it, just call me. Let me know. Definitely do it.
Oh, you know, most definitely. I'm going to do that. It's going to be soon because, man, I was enjoying your testimony. I know the people were, but like I said, keep letting God use. This is the day the Lord has made, you know, for you. He wanted you to, when God told me, I had to do it. So evidently, God has more. He's bringing you to the forefront.
Man, I thank you, man. I appreciate you, man, for even considering me, man. And I appreciate you for listening to God, man, and having me, man. Like I said, man, I look forward to every opportunity, man, to share, you know, and to witness and do what I do for God, man. So thank you, man. Again, like I said, man, you got my number, man, so call me whenever, bro.
Hey, I will. And you too. Call me, man. You can converse anytime. I'm always here, man. That's my personal number.
And I tell people too, man, all the time, bro, if you know, in that area, because I don't have like a personal manager, and I do that for a reason, because I mostly like managing and doing a lot of stuff myself, hands on. So you don't know when you get there, when you get to the point to where you're big enough to need a manager, you know how everything works and how it's supposed to work. So
that's right. That's what I do. That's right.
And so right now, what I tell people in every area, especially for that Alabama area, I tell you, man, if you ever, you know, you'll see where you can get some shows lined up, and I can get a managerial fee to do all of that, man. So that way, you know, you, that managerial fee will be yours. You know, that'll come out with whatever fee, you know what I mean?
That's right.
If you see anything that where, you know, you think you can get me on, man, do it, man. And like I said, man, well, I'll make sure I bless you, man. Take care.
I will. That's why I'm looking to do some things, and I've been talking with different, even Bobby Jones, man. We've been trying to do some things, man. Going to be doing some things. And I will most definitely, Justin, I got you. Like I said, I love your music, man. I love your ministry. And I will definitely keep you in mind, man. I would love to get you here, man. I'm just working on some things, man. Working on some things right now.
Well, that's what's up, man. What dudes you got to do on your end, man, whenever you need me, man, or whenever you get something, man, call me, let me know, man. And like I said, I'll stay in touch with you, bro.
Yeah, stay in touch, man. God bless you, man. And thanks again for coming on the line. But I'll be talking back with you.
All right, man. Likewise. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.